Good morning and welcome to the Bible Strong Radio Ministry. I pray today that you will be uplifted by this ministry. Yesterday, we did not complete our study on the two verses of Scripture, one in Deuteronomy and one in 2 Kings, the second chapter. See, there is something which makes Christianity more than a religion, more than an ethic, and more than the ideal dream of the sentimental idealist. It is this something that makes it relevant to each one of us now as a contemporary experience. It is the fact that Christ Himself is the very life content of the Christian faith. It is He who makes it tick. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. The one who calls you is the one who does that to which He calls you. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He Himself is the very power that does all that He demands of you. Christ did not die simply that you might be saved from a bad conscience or even remove the stain of past failures, but to clear the debt for divine action. You have been told that Christ died to save you. This is true in a very limited, though vital sense. In Romans 5 and 10 we read, "If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Yesterday, we discovered in 2 Kings, the second chapter, the beautiful city of Samaria. It had land, it had trees, it had water, but the water had become contaminated, and the fruit trees did not produce a harvest. Maybe this is a picture of you. Maybe the waters in your soul have become contaminated with the cares of this world. Maybe the briars have grown up and choked out the word in your life. Maybe you have not seen a harvest in a very long time. You look good, you feel good, but down inside you are lacking. You know the harvest that have appeared to others have not appeared to you. Salt speaks of the risen life of the glorified Savior, imparted by the indwelling of the Holy Ghost to a redeemed sinner. It was the tree for bitterness, the salt for barrenness. This is what God wants you to have. Jesus is the salt. He wants it to be at the source of all of your activity. Only what He does in you and through you will merit His approval. This could be a picture of some pastor in the pulpit every week preaching and praying, yet he sees no harvest. It could be a Sunday school teacher who have taught her class week after week and have not yet seen any converts under her teaching. It could be a missionary or an evangelist who have worked fervently and tirelessly for the Lord, but somehow they have not witnessed that harvest that has been promised to us. Jesus said, "He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." Living waters, not stagnant waters, not contaminated waters. He wants you to have that living water, the ones that brings life to those that are around you. As Ezra of the days of old said, he had fixed in his heart to know the word of the Lord and to seek the word of the Lord. Back in the Middle East, salt was scarce. So there was a substitute salt on the market, good to the taste and good for immediate consumption. But the moment they tried to preserve their food with these substitutes, it would spoil within a matter of hours and at the most a matter of days. In that hot climate, it would go bad and begin to stink and not even fit for the dunghill. As in the case of substitute salt, there is a form of activity that is all right for immediate consumption. It impresses everybody. Your stock goes up, but it will always leave a stink behind if it stems from the flesh. If it is self-activity, it will always produce the kind of fruit that drops and premature and immature to never to produce. This is the work of God, that you believe and maintain unrelenting total dependence upon the one whom God has sent to fill you with himself. Jesus is that true salt through whom you are made the salt of the earth. You say, Atkinson, this all sounds good, but how can I be productive? How can I know the will of God for my life? Well, John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Did you hear that? The Word was God. And if the Word was God, the Word still is God. I'd like to refer you to the book of Ezra, chapter 7. It says, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. Wouldn't you like to be a ready scribe? Wouldn't you like to be a ready Bible teacher? Wouldn't you like to be a ready Sunday school teacher, a ready pastor? Wouldn't you like to be ready in the law of God? Wouldn't you like to have it burning deep into your bones like a fire, and you couldn't wait until Sunday morning in your Bible class to share what God had burned into your soul the previous week? If you really want to be on fire for God in your Sunday school class, in your pulpit on a Sunday morning, my dear pastor friend, my dear Sunday school teacher friend, if you want to be on fire the previous 6 days, let the Holy Spirit burn into your bosom His Word, and you will be excited come Sunday morning, and your audience will be excited come Sunday morning. Your class will look at you with a different look after this Sunday. Your parishioners will view you in a different light, my dear pastor friend, if you will just be on fire with the Word. This Ezra, he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all of his requests, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing to be in such a relationship to God that everything you need for any circumstance is always yours by the good hand of your God upon you? And I like what it says next, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of God and to do it, not just to seek the law, but he wanted to do the law and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. He had said in his heart, I'm going to seek the mind of God in the Word of God. Do the will of God and teach the ways of God. And for this reason, he was among those whom God raised up to rebuild the temple. When you let his word, I do not de-emphasize prayer. I think we should pray always, but I want to magnify in your life the need to read his word, to know his word, to let it burn in your soul day and night. Let God touch your life again. And until tomorrow, I pray that God will work on your life. I pray that when Sunday comes, that you will be on fire for those that you love, for those that you have prayed for. Let this word burn in your soul, for your class, for your parishioners Sunday morning. God bless you.